I know how much he loves corporate worship, you know. But 1 million people raised their hands. 500 or... But you know what he really loves? I mean, he's got billions and billions of people and have billions and billions raise their hands. That's great. When you center him out, you know, when you lift your hands and you center him out, you focus on him and you say, I don't want any money. You don't have to cook me a big meal. I just called to say I love you. No holidays. No habit my ways. I just called to say I love you. You think that he doesn't center in on you when you're just calling him to tell him you love him? Because when everybody else is told, okay, worship him. You know, it's so different. Okay, worship. I told you to worship. He'd excuse her. He'd say, never mind. But you know, if he's just not paying any attention, and all of a sudden and her little hand slip out. And, I just called to say I love you. Come on. Even though there's billions of people, there's only you. There's only you. He could have left you in Adam, you know. There's only you. It seemed like at a certain place, at edification, and you know, you work in his plan and things, and a certain place you get to, you understand mysteries, and you understand more than a mystery compounds another one. How could I understood that one without understanding this one? And pretty soon it'll crawl up there to where the love of God is. And boy, when he starts revealing that a piece at a time, that'll send you to the moon and back about 7 or 8 times. You know? So sitting or standing, I don't care. Why don't you just lift those hands kind of half mask if you're able, and lift them on up. Just tell him, you know, God. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, God. Hallelujah. Just, we want to know, you know, we're your family. We'd just like to know why, how come you love us so much, and we'd just like to tell you that we love you. Yeah, but yesterday you were griping, complaining about this and that and that. Yeah, but today I realized that gets you nowhere. That gets you nowhere. When you're on my side, I'm going to glorify you. If hell tries to get deep as the ocean and overflood me, I am going to glorify you and lift you up, because you're on my side and I know what you can do. Well, I don't even want a reason to do it. I want to do it because I just called to tell you I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, I just called. I don't expect them to know that song. Do you? I don't know where I heard it. Maybe riding somewhere in the car. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I just called. I don't know, holidays, no special, no birthday, no anniversary. I just called to say how much I love you. Hallelujah, Jesus. So sit down. You know, it's not, you stand into, this isn't the military, you know. This is the heart. This is the heart. Not the military. Why did you do that for God? Well, I was afraid not to. Who, what church you go to? Hallelujah, Jesus. So, now's a good time. Again, just lift him up a little bit. And, oh, Father. Oh, let me see. I'll just block some time out here. You know, I'll block some time out. You will? Yeah. I'll see to it that I can block some time out. Well, what are you going to do with it? Well, I'm going to put it aside to worship you. You know, I'll best block it out there. And then when I get done, I'll go back to what I was doing. And then, oh, thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate you blocking a little time out for me. Thank you. You know, worship doesn't exactly work like that. Hallelujah, Jesus. It can start like that. I can worship God when there's people standing around me, you know, 5 feet away. I can worship him, and for some reason it would insult them or offend them. I can worship him inside. I can worship him inside. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, just who are you and what kind of responsibility has been put on us? He kept talking about creating. You know, you can create somebody. There'll never be a time when they're not. See, this is our family. There'll never be a time we're not. Grace. I mean, it was His grace that He paid the price and everything. You could have, here's a planet and there's darkness and then planet heaven, and We're on the edge of this planet begging, would you please come and save us? Could you please? It's Him, I'm sorry, but I've got nothing to save you with. You could beg Him until eternity came. And it wouldn't make any difference because He couldn't do it. Difference between mercy and grace. His mercy stepped in. Mercy crossed the void. And then right there He died in their place for them. And then resurrected. And He says, now I can do something. I can give you grace. Now I can do something. See? Well, grace is it's different than mercy. I have the standing He gave me, and I couldn't earn it if life are worth 10 billion years. It's something he had to pay for because he loved us. And the only way that you can get it is by him giving it to you when you ask him. You can't earn it. So what makes us think that we can manipulate God into doing something that, you know? So we, you know, sometimes when I approach him, I want to butter him up. I start buttering him up, just reminding him all I've done lately, and I well, you know, buttering up's okay, kind of, if it's something you're going to do, like go visit some people, or you're going to do something like that. But if you got something that only God can take care of, because he's the one, like, you know, you're dying from a terminal disease or something, you don't have to butter him up. I've been really nice, and I deserve this, and I'd appreciate it if you would give this to me. See, I think if I butter him up, I can get him to do it, you know. No. Could you tell me why he heals you? Sure. That's easy. Because he loves me. Because he loves me. And I know it. And this week I couldn't even teach you. I couldn't even teach you. I couldn't get it all out of what I stepped into when I touched him for a minute. And I don't know how full or the fullness of the love was that I touched for that minute. But I tell you, I'm still as drastically affected as the day that it touched me. Well, like Gary was preaching this morning, it was really good when he said, how many times does God tell you what he is? I am what? Love. He is love. He is. And I've always looked at love as the ability to go ahead, hit me again. Okay. Anybody else want to take a turn being ugly? You know, I thought that love was the position we took when people were mean to us. Of course, that's what it says, you know. Probably somebody can be mean to you and you be mean back, and it hinders your prayers and stuff. I thought love was just for those situations. You're ugly. Well, so are you. I mean, you know, not until I saw that as part of our new nature, if you wanted to call it a strand of DNA or however you want to believe that our spirit was actually come into existence in the hands of God, you know, how he did it. This new nature that you have has a capacity for many things. One of the major things is a capacity to hold love, and I'd say the love of God. But it's not like, okay, I'm putting my love in there. No, this love that belongs to your new nature is you. And you can run, you can operate in this much of it, or fill up that much up here or up here. Or you can even walk in it up to here. The thing is, the more of it that you take on, then the more of it he can move in and do things. This is the difference I found it, that love made particularly in faith. I mean, you know, I want to have faith to move this, or I need this to be done, or that. Hey, what would you do for somebody you really loved? I mean, they're dying or something. You'd spend all your money, then go get some more, spend it again, and do anything you could to keep them from dying. But with this love, I'm beginning to experience. I have no other way to explain it except I must be starting to see people and situations like he does. Like I look at you or a stranger or somebody and I can say, oh yeah, God loves people. He wants to save people. Then all of a sudden this thing comes over me about how much he loves you. There isn't a person in here that he didn't pay the same price for. Can somebody turn it loose? Okay. Our hospitals are full of children there. They'll have a major children's hospital and two or three cities will take advantage of it. And usually they can handle two or three cities. But you don't want to stroll through one of those places. See, you don't want to. If the child's able to understand, the hardest thing to explain is how come they don't look good like you? How come they can't walk like you? How come they can't talk like you? What do you tell them? You're special. What do we say? I can't ignore the scriptures anymore. If what in history I haven't been taught, I'm not doing it right, or what? The faith I was taught, what, am I not doing it right? My confession? Speaking the word over and over, every doctrine they came up with. You know, it wasn't nothing to me to jump into it. Swim around in it as much as I can. You know? And it's real nice. Off here, and go off there, and there'll be some good miracles. I've seen some good ones before. One child's feet was kind of backwards, and a lump went down them, and they just straightened around frontwards. And the husband was at home, and when she got home, she went in the bedroom where he was. He started cussing her. How did they do down there that late? She held the baby up and he got born again. Now, some of this time I can't help it. You know, I almost just can't help it. I know a lot. 40 years, I know a lot. Preaching. 40 years. I could wear you out. I'd just wear you out going from one parable to another. But in my search somewhere along the way, I've seen a whole lot more in the Word than I'm saying out here. And The child isn't the child, it wasn't the child's fault that the parents born him the way he is. It's not his fault. And you could try to blame them. They were sinners and they were drinking and drugging when they had him. You could. But that still wouldn't take the blessing of God off the child if you was to pray for him. I mean, we're dealing with the child who's unaccountable. It doesn't matter whose child it is. We see all these things in the Word, and Jesus would walk right in the middle of them and do them. He Well, right after he went back, they hauled the sick in from all the cities. He wasn't there, but every single one of them got healed. Do you think he can repeat history? Well, obvious not what we're sitting around and doing the last 5 or 6 years. Is there something that can be attained to? And if so, how could we explain it? What could we describe it with? Well, I think that maybe it'd have to be something that would do away with all our fear. Anybody come up with a verse? You sound like a boatload of knowledge. And if I'm taking this project on, then I have no fear. And what was that you said caused no fear? Okay. I forgot, for a minute. Oh, but it must fail sometime. What? Never fails. I don't like to talk about fasting because he gave you a lot of warnings about it. At a certain point in fasting, you can get enough out of it personally to know that you're a lot better than everybody else, and then your head gets fat. I don't care, but I'm fasting. You got a fat head. And the devil will pull all that onto you. Your sides are not eating, then he's going, yeah, but look how much better you're doing. What are they all doing out there? Nothing. So, Gary got tired of me preaching. One time I preached fasting on Thanksgiving. He didn't appreciate that. I'd always found fasting at the end of the year during the holidays, which were the feasting holidays and eating and stuff. And I'd get in there and I'd say, okay, now let's teach on fasting. Why couldn't we cast that devil out? Because of your unbelief. For this kind cometh not but by turkey leg stuffing. Come on. I'm not trying to drive people to any kind of condemnation. I'm trying to get some truth to some people I know, some truth to some kids I know, some truth to some cities I know. I'm trying to get some truth there with the backup. Oh, goodness. I never heard that before. For testings and trials have proved themselves that they don't test or strengthen you enough on your recoveries to go on and move into me to where the substance of these things exist. But I'll say this to you, that you get on this trail, and on this trail, the substance that you're looking for, even the very substance that I was moved by, which is the compassion that moved me to do the things that I did, saith the Lord. This attribute, it can't be earned. This attribute is built up in you as you obey me and fellowship and believe what I have and what I have done for you. Yes, sir. In history, which many of you look to, these things have not been too frequent. But why would it be that you wouldn't make it one of those times that it was? These times were not frequent because the enemy was always able to come in and abort this kind of walk, using religion, testings, and trials, and persecutions, and afflictions, the usual things, until you were too occupied just to survive, rather than biwa, sale, kunena, fraboletiskia, tokokasatia, to finish entering into what is and what can be. Thank you, Jesus. What was you going to do? I was just going to get up and read communion scriptures. What'd you do to me? Well, we've got something that has no fear. Death is sure out of there. Disease is out of there. We can have all of something that has no fear, and it never, never fails. The reason he'd say no fear, that this is what he said. The reason I said no fear, because in never failing, you will have to overcome and pass the fears that have stopped all others. He makes me cry when he promises me something. Yet he can take you again through the four Gospels. I particularly like Paul's teaching on them. He wasn't there. He was against it. But boy, God got him. He answered the hard questions. Did you see any of the others answer the hard questions? John gave it a good run. He locked in a lot of love. James did pretty good. You know, Paul wrote most of that, you know, Hebrews, Corinthians. Now, he had to answer some of the most difficult questions, like whole churches have etched, like praying in tongues out. That's done away with, and that's not according to Paul. See? So Paul, where'd he get his information? You know, I know he had visitations from Jesus. I know he spent some time with him after his resurrection. But Paul got saved because of Stephen. You know, if God just looked down and liked the shape of your head and didn't like the shape of yours, and he saved him because he liked it, I'm going to reverse that. If he just say, "Oh, I think I'll save you." Well, won't you save him? I don't like the shape of his head. I'm going to save you. I just like you. If he chose at random, this is my choice. That's, I predestined you to be saved. You're not. You are not. No, no, no. Definitely no. Yes, yes. Then we could hold him accountable because Paul was killing believers and God slapped him down on the road to Damascus and said, "Who is it?" And he says, "I am he." It's hard to kick against the bricks, isn't it? And would you ever fight a cactus? You lose. But why did he do that? I'll tell you why. Because he held the coats of the young men who killed Stephen by stoning him to death. You know what he said? Don't hold this to their charge. Died. That's all God needed to knock the living daylights out of Paul on the road to Damascus. That's all he needed. Did you know when you pray for a loved one and really turn him over and won't take him back, that there's a shift out there? Angels, and shift in the crowd. People's directions are changed because they're on a course now. Something to do with somebody that you left with God, see? So, whew. So Paul wrote so much of the New Testament by revelation knowledge. You could tell that he learned what he knew. Much of it, he says, I thank God I pray in tongues more than you all. Man, he was talking to a whole church system. You mean the guy was an avid, addicted tongue talker? He'd have liked this place. Come on. He's the one answered the most difficult problems. I can just see the mess. They'd had no Bibles. They'd lucky to have a letter. Maybe they paid a scribe to give them an Old Testament book that promised a lot about Jesus. But other than that, all they had was some scattered letters that were going around. So can you imagine the questions that was being asked? About 55 people trying to prophesy all at once, and this old section is screaming in tongues, and this section is, Paul had to bring order to it somehow. And he did. And he also had to answer real hard questions. You a Gentile, you are. But you're a saved one. What if you're some Gentile and you had 7 wives, 13 kids? You get born again. Who are you going to ask, which one do you keep? Paul was stuck with questions like that. Where in the world would he get his knowledge? Well, he told you in there. You know, if God could make it any easier for us, he probably would have, but he couldn't. How could he make it any easier? Do you remember a long time ago I did a Godhead meeting before we come into existence? Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost were sitting at the conference table. God was at the head. I am Alpha. He's at the head. Yeah. And then the Word was right at his right hand, and the mighty Holy Spirit who just went by that the whole time. Not Father, not anything. He's the Spirit. So they're all talking about creation. Why don't we create a family? Wouldn't that be nice? You know, God is saying. And so they look ahead and they say, well, okay, let's do that. So God goes and he creates somebody. So they look ahead of that creation then. Okay, now what happened? Oh, look, well, did you see that? He listened to the devil. And he fell. Now what are we going to do? So they stop and they run ahead and the Word says, okay, I'll as soon as I can, I'll go die in his place. And then I'll die for him. And for anybody that wants to get free from that penalty of death can confess, you know me, that I died for them, and then we'll get them back. Okay, good, good. Whew, good. Then they all have a new nature again. You think we can fellowship with them and stuff? You think they'll pray and things? And no, they run around making money, getting famous. So we said, what are we going to do? I know what let's do. The Holy Spirit says, I'll go. I'll bring all my power with me. And I'll live in them. I'll baptize them. Then they'll have all that power to lean to when they pray and do things. And they'll surely use it to walk with you. Me? Wouldn't that be great? I won't do it for them. But I'll be the power for them to do it. Wow, we can have fellowship, can't we? And they all go, yeah. And so they go, and the people look a little bit funny, but they go on doing what they're doing. Shut up, that's my money. No, it's yours. I had it first. I told you $1.25 an hour. Not $1.50. Gonna get it. It says, I'll look at them. They won't pray, even though they're full of the power and they're saved. I just wish they would look up and pray a little. It'd be nice. You know, koskide mandose, haska, really love God. Born again, all you need to do is get them filled and praying, and it'll be over. Hallelujah. So when Paul was answered that question, and he straightened tongues out, there's four different tongues. He straightened it all out. You know, one for interpretation, one for deep intercessional groanings, one as a sign to the unbeliever when you preach in a language you don't know. I've done that, I don't know, 5 or 6 times maybe. French was one of them, and Spanish and Russian. Russian was one. That was fun. Problem was, I didn't know what I was saying. They did. I was speaking in French, and I was up by Maine in Canada. But it was up in the end of Maine, where Maine is, up there. Well, I don't know where I was. I just get off the plane. And I was just up there, and all of a sudden, I'm thinking that tongues interpretation is going to come. So, before I could get done, and I only went into it a couple of minutes, all of a sudden, the front, they start filling up. They start coming up to the front. And I had to ask somebody, why? Well, that's, a lot of them got saved. See, but that's a sign to the unbeliever. And then there's tongues for personal edification. Why in the world would it say edification? When you prophesy, you edify the church. Why? Because you know the mind of God suddenly for the church, the city, for you and it. But yet when you pray in an unknown tongue, you edify yourself. The reasons are the same. You start to understand the mysteries of who Christ is in you, what he's called you to do, how to walk in his power. And if you keep going, you keep praying. I didn't know what was beyond this. When I first came, he wanted me to be associate pastor, and I wanted to be one for him too, real bad. But it didn't take me praying very long to know that our visions wasn't really the same, and I'd have to move on and stuff. But I remember one time, I don't even know why it happened, that God gave me an authority and things to establish myself. But I called a line up, and a whole line come up. And they were all the way across the front like this. I went. I don't do this, you know. I went, Jesus' name, like that. And they all went, pow. And they fell down on the ground. It's all just laying there. Then I didn't know what to do. I noticed that people didn't argue with me too much when I said I was going to do something. But see, he's put me through a school now. And this school has brought me to the dove, would I say? In this next place, the only thing I could see on this side was that love. I didn't see no fasting doors and meditation doors and understand this door and that door. I had already went in and got what was in them, even love. And it only went that far, though. Then it stopped. But I didn't. Except that I'm back from fasting. I pulled off the road. I had to pull off the road when I was in Russia with Rick Renner. And with Brother Dinnerkin in India. The crowds were 600,000 or 700,000 long, and it wasn't anything to see 200,000 or 300,000 born again in a night. Not talking about the people who got their teeth filled and healed one night in just one mass prayer. Now when somebody calls and says, until I know any different, I have to come home. I can't go to Russia, but I can't come back to India. But he was sending me home. Now, to stop a harvest like that, you had better have a good reason. But when I stepped over here, Just enough to see. It only took a minute. Just a minute. What is God? What is He? I had no other way to explain it. The confidence that went off in me. For a minute. Oh, I love seeing all those sick people, 600,000 or 700,000, and a lot of sick got healed, but nothing like what he has. Is there a law that governs this? I wish there's a law that kept it full. Are you sure what it's going to do? Now, you better be sure. What if it goes up one time? Are you sure? I posit if you know, you have no doubt. None. Let's see. You were right. I better do that again. Because I was over there a minute. Are you sure? How can you be so positive? How can you be so positive that he was moved by compassion and healed them all? Hmm? He keeps bringing unaccountable children to me. So where is this? Can it really happen? Like I said, I'd like to bring a doctor that's watching them. You know, probably not saved. I'd like to bring a scientist too. Not saved. And let them declare how impossible this is. You think he would have stopped Jesus? Why does he say things like, all things are possible to him that believe? What did he categorize a little balloon full of stuff and handed it to you? Or did he really mean all things? You can see, you can say to that mountain, well, that's, you know, theoretical. That's using the mountain just as an example. Of course, we know we're not going to dislodge some volcano and move it across the ocean or something. But to you, you're looking at a mountain. He said you could say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and doubt not in your heart, but believe that those things that you say will come to pass. You will have what you say. Another problem that comes along with this is you see people. You don't see them temporary anymore. You don't see them like that. You got to know so, see so. You don't see them the same. When you fell in love with your sweetie pie, did you see her the same as every other girl? If they did, she should slap you. What I'm saying is you're not the same to me anymore. And the more I see you like this, the more I see the sinner like that, and you know what happens? The more I see, why wouldn't he do the things that wouldn't leave him that way? There isn't any reason but us. And I'm not going to stay here. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm not going to read that again in the Bible and stay the same. And read it again. And what does it come? Just reading? If I was the only one that went to this church, I'd say, I'm glad I go to this church. I got visited by a whole bunch of devils, and I'll tell you about it sometime this week. Were they there? Oh, yeah, I could have hit one of them in the face if I'd wanted to. I don't know if it went through his face, but... He was there. Woke me up too. And that made me madder than anything. But we'll get into what they did to try to stop me from opening that door. They threatened to kill me. I came that close. But I'm here. It didn't work. For many of these things that are being said for you, for many of you come looking for more than you've ever had before. But I'm here, and I have the answers to those things. So think it not strange when these things are spoke of and approached in different manners. For when the capacity of you to hold my love within the love that you were born with when you were born again, that as that becomes a reality and stronger in you, you'll begin to see people and things. We'll cover also a couple of the items that brings you into that place that you can do on purpose. How many believes that God will have His revival before He returns? Yes. Whew. Hallelujah, Jesus. Is there a direct path to everything He said you could have? Yes. Yes. Why wouldn't the path to the cross be as sovereign and final as the cross itself that provided these things? Why would it throw you off halfway? No. No. The path is as sovereign and finished to everything Jesus provided as the cross is itself. And you can go there just because you want to. Do you worry? No. Do you have peace? Yes. Do you have any fear that you know of? I don't know much about it yet, but no, I'm not afraid. Throw those hands up. Now, come on. Who in the world is it that you serve? Hallelujah. Don't you know what you mean to Him and who you are? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody, you know, they're a jarhead, and you go, God, look at that person. Ooh, I'm glad I'm not like him. Or you look at somebody, and they're walking in a lot of love, and you're going, ooh, I wish I could walk in that, like the love like she is. Wow, God really gave her. Well, the truth of the matter is that all she's doing is filling up her. As she increases in His love, then He finds more space to occupy with His. So you've got the love of God that was born in you as part of your nature. But that's what holds God's love. And it can be this much, or this much, or this much. Or way up here, on here, you know, when you're trying to. I can't see. Yeah, you can't see failure anymore. When you start seeing people then that they're eternal creatures and they're going to die and they're running up and down the road, you're not going to stay the same. Well, what do you know is on the way? You know what it does to a town when a neighborhood has had somebody that's never been able to talk or walk live in their neighborhood, and one day they're knocking on the door saying, "Look what happened to me. What do you think, huh? Huh? What do you think?" What church in town can produce that for you? Show me just one. Your town? Can you find any in your town? Well, there's one thing I can't find on TV or anything. I can't find anything about money. If they can make that $1,000 work so thoroughly in your life, why can't they raise the dead? Oh, come on. They're going to make all kinds of wonderful things happen in your life. You send them that $1,000, you're going to get 100-fold and cars and houses, and all your circumstances will change, but don't get a cold. Well, come on. Doesn't that tell you something?
Well, I'm called to this.
Everybody's called to lay hands on the sick, speak with new tongues, and cast devils out. Didn't say everybody's called to go get money and promise you 100-fold returns. Well, there's a truth to that. I mean, of giving, of course he notices. Luke 6:38 isn't even about a service. It's about some sinner took your stuff away from you. And it told you, don't judge him, condemn not. The guy slaps you on the cheek, forgiving. And that guy takes away your goods, ask him not again. And then when he starts mopping this up for you, he said, judge not, condemn not, forgive. You'll be forgiven and give. And that's where he says, and I'm going to go and I'm going to shake the money until it drops down about 6 inches. Then I'm going to fill it back up until it's literally running over. And whatever that cost you to hold my blood up in front of that sinner, I'm going to pay you back. That's what that verse means. Luke 6:38. Don't take it out of context. Tonight I was prophesying quite a little, and one day I'll explain that gift. It's a brother to the revelation gift, and what ties it together as a brother has caused a lot from praying in tongues and things. But a whole lot of what I said to you, it was actually the gift of prophecy. And then when I didn't interpret enough, he introduced the tongues. To interpret, he'd been wanting to talk to you so you'd get free.